kids through the motion.
You start with a...
I guess with just what I need. What's up? I'm
Hello.
Andrea. This is Respectfully. Did that go in an order of any way? I don't think so. Welcome to the podcast.
I think it worked.
Thank you.
I'm Lizzie Cassidy, and our guest today is comedian, co-host of Close Calls podcast, friend in real life, Kevin Casey White.
Hello.
Hello. You know that other podcast I plug at the end of this always? He's on.
He's
Come
here.
On Let's
Come on,
go.
Baby. He's here.
Let's go.
It's a returning guest. Oh my God. I'm so happy to
returning
see you.
Returning guest.
Kev's- good to be back. I had with my favorite gals. Okay.
No, not your girlfriend, but me and Lizzie.
She's not a gal.
My right. two favorite girls in the world.
She's not a gal. She's yeah. a woman. Lady. She's,
oh.
all, she's all woman.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
woman. She's all woman to me.
Ew.
Yeah, man. All right, you guys.
You're gonna, he's
your
gonna say
stock
something
is
nice.
Plummeting.
Yeah. He's gonna say something nice, and then we interrupt.
You wanna,
yeah.
yeah, you want to be? You don't want to be my favorite.
Wait, no,
guys?
What were you gonna say? Tell us what you were gonna say.
With these two whores that yap and yap and yap.
Well, you've called me Lizzie, one of the gals.
I've called you a girls' girl. Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I mean.
We only have girls' girls who are our close friends.
The feeling's yeah. mutual.
Yeah, yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, all of the boys in our lives are girls' girls.
Yes, and I love it. I love yeah. to see it.
So it's good to be here, and I haven't seen you since you got your big fake tits.
I know.
So,
it's been a while. Thank you. Thank you.
He's a Samantha.
Yeah.
Oh. Let's see him, darling.
No, no, no.
Kevin's a Samantha.
What does that mean? Why do
no,
people keep saying
you're
that?
A Miranda, yeah. You're a Miranda. You're so bitchy.
Yeah.
I'm not bitchy.
Yeah. Miranda, what? But you're like the friend, and Miranda's the friend who, like, if I'm like, yeah, I just like, I don't know, I'm just like fucking my ex. You're the friend who's like, why?
Yeah, yeah. That is totally
don't.
Me.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Why would you do that?
That's stupid behavior.
And Samantha would be like, well, a good fuck is a good fuck.
Stop, all of you, stop fucking your exes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is right about that, by the way.
100%.
It's nothing good is going to happen to you.
Yeah.
Me and Kevin is the people I would say probably in the circle closest to you. There's probably been an ex or two that we've both just had our nails on
yeah.
chalkboard being like, not
yeah,
this
yeah, yeah, yeah. Or like a guy who wasn't even an ex yet.
Yeah.
I will say Samantha found out she had breast cancer because she was going to get fake tits.
That's
so
true.
I am a Samantha.
That's
in that
true.
Sense. And I'd like to tell you guys today, I have cancer.
Okay, oh, let's not do that one. That's just.
That's a
oh
great,
my God, dude! I have.
Can I wait real quick? Can I? That's a great thing to joke about, Andrea. Leave a comment below
yes.
if you thought that was tasteless. Lizzie?
Leave a comment below if you or someone you love has had cancer.
Okay, my mom had it. It's my right.
I might have a new primary care doctor.
Ooh,
and party. So I had, fuck yeah, dude. Yeah. Let's party, dude.
She gets some huge blood work.
Huge,
blood.
Huge for the girls.
Huge for the girls. So I had to fill out like a family history form.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, my family is just like riddled with tumors and mental
yeah.
illness.
Yeah.
And she looked at this. She's like flipping through the forms. Like the first page is like stuff about me. And the second page is like family history. And it's like 4 pages long. And she flips over the one about me and she goes, wow. The doctor.
No way, dude.
Joyce.
Yeah. She goes, wow. And I went, I know.
She goes, actually,
I know.
I'm going to pop you over to another doc. I
yeah.
don't really want to deal
like,
with this
well,
fucking mess.
I guess we'll do like a full body scan and roll the dice on this one.
That's crazy.
So that's pretty chill and cool.
Well,
they always say because the cancer my dad had is like crazy bad. So
yeah.
they see it and it's genetic.
Yeah.
So they see it and they go, yoinks. Not that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was like that. I thought.
Yeah.
Is it like, was it kind of like, as far as cancers go, is it like a deep cut?
I don't know how rare it is, but it's like the rarer form of skin cancer.
Right.
And it just like moves like that.
You
yeah.
don't love
so
it.
Like if you are diagnosed with it, they're like, uh-oh, we gotta go.
We're gonna have
Damn.
To rip your skin off, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That stinks, dude.
My fiance's dad got taken out by that one too. And I was like, God, it's everywhere.
Yeah, it'll take a dad.
Yeah.
I have the kind of brain.
It'll take a dad big time.
For some, I have the kind of brain that, like, I'm bad with, like, factoids about family and friends and whatever. Factoid.
Yeah.
I'll call it a factoid.
Factoid. Our
family
dads are
history.
Dead.
Yeah. Like, whatever
all three
comes
of us,
to that
baby.
Yeah.
Come on.
I truly don't know how to answer those questions.
Oh, like family.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of it is, I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's the stuff you know about, and then there's the stuff you're like I don't know how either of my dad's parents died.
Yeah, okay.
But they died of something because they were young.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. It sounded like you have like the whole roster.
No,
whole
but my tree. Mom has 13 siblings.
Mm-hmm. That's
so if they're like, does anyone in your family have bipolar disorder? You're like, yeah, yeah. For sure.
Are you the family historian? I feel like every family.
No, not at all. But we have one. We have one.
Every family. For me, it's my brother, Pat.
Yeah.
And so he's all, you know, if I need any, hey, did we, did anybody, like I could ask him like, how did we get over here?
Yes.
And he'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, I looked it up and I was like, blah, blah, blah.
Every family has like, we're actually from Cork County, Ireland. And it's like, well, everyone in America
is an Irish
Cork
thing because no one in my family knows anything about
anybody. It's also
anybody.
An American thing.
Scottish and Ukrainian, but like no one cares.
But it's also an American thing.
Yeah, that's true. Like, literally.
It's very culturally like when you're in like first grade, people are like, what are you? And it's all white people.
Yeah, they don't do that in Canada?
I'm sure people do, but we're just like, let's not talk about it. It's bipolar disorder, lobotomies, suicide, and a bunch of sociopaths. And we're all just hanging out, trying not to kill each other.
That's what we were talking about, like, are you Irish or French?
Yeah.
Are you lobotomized? Who had a lobotomy?
My great-grandmother.
Whoa.
Yeah, she just like had postpartum and they were like, get her out of here.
Wow,
they were like,
dude,
put an egg beater in her.
Yeah, yeah. So there's just a bunch of photos of her smiling, being like, hello.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, wow, and I'm like, dude, honestly,
that's kind of nice.
Let's take it back.
They should bring that back, right?
Oh, I'd take
it. Respectfully, this is my segment this week. Yeah. Respectfully, bring back the lobotomy and start with me.
Yeah.
We were texting about this on our way here, but they should bring back horse diving. Hard left turn.
What is
horse
diving?
Hard left turn, I know.
Horse diving is a thing they used to do where they would bring horses up on like a high dive platform and make them jump off.
Yes. Like 1920s, there's a pool that's maybe 10 feet deep and a ladder that's 50 feet
high. Horrific animal abuse, but it is fun to look at.
They're just prodding a horse.
Can we get Snoop Dogg to comment on it too?
Yeah,
would be incredible. So,
lobotomies and horse stuff. I want to live in the 30s.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
And you want to hit women.
Yes. Back when you two, this podcast would be illegal you would be classified as hysterical.
I mean, first of all, we'd be talking into wooden spoons.
Yeah. We'd be with my grandma being like, look at the sky.
It would just be
today.
Two pilled up ladies with wooden spoons in their faces.
Okay. Pilled up housewife. I'm like, as time passes,
I mean, who are
that's
you,
what you want.
Let's go with that a little bit.
I mean, who are you talking to right now?
Right.
I feel like Andrea's final form is pilled up housewife.
100%.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What's your final form?
Hack.
Yeah.
Absolute wacky
leather jacket hack. Yeah.
Yeah. Dyed red hair, smokes inside, hack.
Yeah. Well, dude, speaking of tragedy, we're gonna bring our first segment in, which is a Kevin respectfully, which I love. I live for, because I live to hate. And this is a hater segment.
My boyfriend keeps telling me I'm a hater, and I'm like,
mine does the same thing. And then I'm like, you're a shitty bitch too. What are you talking about?
Like, yeah, professionally. Like,
yeah.
Look at my whole online presence.
Right.
This is like literally my brand is to be a hater. You knew this coming in.
And you love cunts.
Yeah.
You wouldn't start dating a cunt if you didn't love cunts. Kevin?
I got a...
You called me a hater last week.
Yeah, because you were being... Okay, here this is not
and then
my
was
topic.
I wrong?
Yeah.
And then was I wrong?
You're,
because we explored what I was hating on, and was I wrong?
Yes.
What were you hating on?
No, I wasn't.
I don't remember. I don't remember what you were
It was
hating.
That guy who wrote that bad article... And I said the article was bad,
you
called me a hater, and then you read two more sentences, and it was like third grade level writing.
The guy didn't write well. That's true. That is true.
So, you know?
Well, I had to do something. I had to hang out with a person I didn't know, and just based off their social media presence, I was like, God, this fucking person's going to be annoying. And then my boyfriend was like, you should go into a situation with optimism. You don't freaking know him, and maybe you're going to have a nice time. And then I was like, oh, you would. Got there, funnest guy alive.
Yeah.
And I had to like report back and be like, I was
really looks like you're not so good at it. How about that?
Yeah, whatever.
I
was sitting in my own piss and hate.
I've never known you to be a hater.
Lizzie?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, not to her close friends.
Because a hater tries too hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've made some correct calls.
Thank you. For sure.
But you're not, I don't want you, and nor do I ever want you to be annoying about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like, you can't handle me because I tell, like, it grow
up. Yeah, that might be the kind of final form hack that I am. Yes,
though.
You are.
That's what I'm saying. You're not a hater. I might
release a comedy album where I have caution tape over my mouth.
That's you, right?
And I'm
all right, Ricky Gervais.
You can't handle the truth.
Yeah, dude. Betty Boop. You don't want to be a hater.
No, that's like, that's horrible. That's a horrible brand of person.
That's embarrassing. That's an embarrassment, but I think a razor sharp wit and a good eye.
Yeah, well, I mean,
like it.
Here's the thing: I'm not a razor sharp, really
patting yourself on the back with that.
I'm talking about her.
You know what we do here with our razor sharp wit. Now I'm a hater.
Well, there you go.
I'm not a full blown hater, but I am a shitty little gossip.
You are a shitty little gossip.
Yeah, me too.
That I've always known you to be.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's fun.
And that's one of the things you love about me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, as long as it's not directed towards me.
But can we agree?
Sometimes I'll start gossiping and Kevin will be like, come on. And then 2 minutes later, he's like, and another thing about that guy. I always pull you into my little web.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you have to work to not be a cynic.
That is true.
And
yeah.
When I say cynic, I don't mean like funny, you know, poking
someone with holes a sharp wit.
Jesus.
Someone with a silver tongue.
I'm talking about
it. Ew. Person who describes themselves as silver tongue.
Yeah. But I'm talking about somebody who's like a drip to be around.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
Which honestly segues into what my...
That's bitter, I think. But yes, go ahead.
You know?
Get into it.
Yeah. People that only complain, always have something going on to complain about.
Yeah.
And it becomes their whole personality.
Yeah.
And they take zero steps to fix it.
Yeah.
Ooh,
that's the kicker.
That was nice.
I love that.
I enjoyed your object
here's
work.
Here's the thing. Andrea and I talked about this earlier today. We don't like people who are like, never complain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who are like, you should never complain. That's
just my opinion.
First of all,
it sounds like you're trying to
tamp down women.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest, because we love to whine.
Yeah.
I love to complain. But yeah, if you're like, if you're not taking steps.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
The worst version of this is if I'm actively giving you, you're coming to me and complaining and I'm giving you solutions.
Oh my God.
And then you're making up excuses to my face as to why those solutions don't work.
Dude, okay.
Yeah.
That sucks cock. Yeah. I hate that.
Yes, dude. Okay, I think it's Tim
on sucks cock. Shout out to Tim, by the way.
That sucks cock and balls. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, dude. Sweaty
Tim's a sucks
nuts.
Cock guy. I love that to learn. Yeah.
All right. Let me, so just so we're on the, okay?
Yes.
Respectfully.
Thank you.
Work on your problems.
Yes.
Thank you.
If I may.
Yes.
If I may. I am there for you. I want to be a good friend.
Yeah.
I want to listen to what your problems are. I'm there all the time. But when it's somebody who's like all the time, it's like, and listen, we all go through rough patches.
Sure.
And sometimes it can be hard to pull yourself out of a rut.
I've totally been this guy. I've seen myself being this guy. Yeah. I'm like, yuck.
But when you champion your defects as if it's like, again, people can't handle me, I'm too blah blah blah,
yeah, or
oh,
like,
everything's
or,
going wrong,
or I'm trying to give you advice and you're like, you wouldn't get it.
I get it.
My life has been bad too. I get it.
Do you know where I see this the most is when people get
take a deep breath
when people get sober from booze and then their life is still a fucking mess.
Okay, now relax.
All right.
Hey, why don't you pump the brakes for a second? Lizzie and I are getting offended.
We're doing our best.
We're trying.
No. I get it. But then they like take a hard line to just like taking fucking mushrooms and coke
and
weed.
Chill.
Sorry.
No, but you're not one of these guys.
You're not.
You don't do mushrooms to fix your life.
I can think of.
You do mushrooms
thinking,
to party.
We're all thinking of the same guy.
Don't fucking clip this.
I won't clip it.
Don't fucking clip this because then I'm going to get DMs from three people that are like, is this about me?
I know.
And I just simply cannot handle that.
Yeah, jokes is I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Substituting one thing for another thing isn't great, but also it's a willingness to be in a bad place.
Yeah,
that is exhausting.
It's also like you don't have to – like if you're a person who gets sober, you don't have to like still be doing drugs to be this person. You can like still be getting in screaming matches.
That's about. yeah.
Like, okay, you quit drinking, but you're still like
a
tough
nightmare.
Fucking hand.
Yeah,
dude.
Nightmare blonde rotation.
And I can imagine this kind of person being especially hard for you to be around, Kevin, because we're, like I said, we're friends in real life. So I know that you are a solution-based listener as a friend.
Yeah, like, and I know that annoys you sometimes. But that's a very nice way to put it.
There's a time when you don't want it,
but sometimes I need it.
Correct.
Like, if I want to talk about my feelings and just be in my feelings, I'll talk to Andrea. If I want somebody to tell me how to fix the problem, I'll talk to Kevin, because that's what he's going to do.
If I want an enabler, I'll talk to Andrea.
No, not an enabler, but sometimes you need to just be like, this fucking sucks.
I'm
and then you'll be like, that does suck.
Yeah.
But if I say to Kevin, this fucking sucks, he'll be like, well, stop talking to that person.
Sidebar.
And I'm like, okay, fine.
Is that a boy-girl thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think traditionally,
it's boy-girl.
I think women can feel in a way, and men are like, okay, I'm hearing a problem, so.
Well, I think that's also how men show you that they care about you.
Okay.
Like, men are like, I'll fix it.
Big-time fixers,
Even if it's like, you know, even if it's like, oh, my air conditioner broke. It's like, well, I'll fix it.
Oh, and I
so then it's the same thing
that.
As like, oh, my boyfriend and I got in a fight. It's like, well, leave him. Oh, let's fix it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and it's like, okay, but maybe I'm not ready to fix it. Yeah. Maybe I just want to be sad
maybe
about
I
it.
Need to empathize and not
sympathize. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then the other side of that is like, at a certain point, we got to fix it.
Yeah.
At some point, it can't be all like, we're just talking about this again.
You know what it is, man? It's emotionally draining. And get a therapist. You can pay somebody to fucking as Mark Maron called it, an emotional prostitute.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My therapist says emotional
dialysis machine.
That's intense.
Yeah. You just put your problems in and get them back out.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I like prostitute. That's fun. Dialysis sounds fucking brutal, man.
Yeah.
Well, there is my therapist, God love her. She's in Arizona. You know who she is. She's got a long dress on.
Turquoise.
Yeah. But she.
I'm hating this person.
I know.
So far.
I know. This is who I need, and it's not for you.
Does she do like Reiki or whatever on you and stuff?
She doesn't. But she's right there. She told me to She told my fiance to dip me in a body of water, and I was like, I think maybe we
need to see
different
other people.
Yeah. Yes.
Dip you in a body of water.
Yeah. She said that he should hold you like a baby in a body of water. If we're going to talk about it, we're going to talk about it.
And I was like, too much.
Okay.
But it was.
There's like an app called Swimply where you can rent a pool. Imagine if you like rented a pool in Long Island. That your boyfriend could hold you like a baby in the shallow end.
I would never tell you that I did this.
Yeah, and for the love of God, don't.
I would take it to my death. But I was doing this. I don't want to deal with any of my problems, guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like fucking people I shouldn't been fucking. Mm-hmm. I was doing.
That's a big one.
Yeah, I went to Sex and Love Addicts, and I was like, oh look, it's fucking
people because you're too old to cut yourself.
100%. And my therapist was like, you're just doing whack-a-mole, where it's like, let me deal with my problems in this unproductive way. And if that stops working, let's do it in this unproductive way.
Totally.
And when I see these people now, they often are out of bars too, and they'll corner you and they'll be like, I was molested by my pastor. And I'll be like, I have to go.
Well, it's just like, this is above my pay grade.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, like I have no idea what to say to that.
Yeah.
You know, what I think annoys me about it is moments like that, right? It's always like, how did you get sober? I'm not going to tell you at 3 a.m. at a bar while you're drunk. It's not going to work like that.
I just
met
you.
But what it is they're essentially crying for help.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you tell them how to get help. Well, I'll give you an email of a therapist or something.
No, I can't do that.
My insurance. Oh, they do sliding scale. But you know,
I told you guys this.
Come back in 6 months when your life is bad enough where you actually want to fix it.
Yeah, I told you guys this while I was dating him, but my ex-boyfriend, my therapist found him a free therapist.
It's crazy.
That he could go to. And he told me that he wasn't going to go because in order to do so, he'd have to fix his sleep schedule.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. That's what?
And now it's now. So the ultimatum is you live with this shitty fucking person
who
refuses to level up in any capacity.
Fix the fucking sleep schedule then.
Yeah. I'm not, yeah, dude.
I found the person for you to talk to.
And you never sleep.
And that's not even my fucking job.
Yeah, I know.
Tim, what do you think?
I wake up at like 5 a.m. Is that crazy?
Okay.
Whoa.
Hating Tim. Tim, get the fuck out of here.
Tim, cut your own mic.
I liked when you laughed at cock and balls, and then I didn't like when you talked about a morning routine.
What time do you go? Wait, do you wake up at 5 a.m. in like a let's start the day way?
Yeah, I'm very much I have to seize the day.
My
wife doesn't like to be called wife, first of all. I shouldn't have said my wife.
If you're going to say it, do it the way I respect it.
Hey, joking aside.
My wife.
Joking aside, Tim actually might be better qualified to talk about this than us. We can't even get up in the morning.
Me being like, get your life under control.
because when you said, I really need to seize the day, the first thought of my mind was, every morning I wake up and I go,
dread.
Yeah.
Not today.
I know.
I have to like schedule 2 hours in the morning to dread.
Yeah, dude.
Then I can start seizing.
I'm like panic attack, coffee, lying on the couch.
Dude, this morning I had like, I didn't sleep a lot. I woke up at 9 a.m. and I was like, you know what? Let's fucking make the most of this.
Yes.
I ate some yogurt.
Great.
Yeah. I did Pilates. I fucking did all the things. And then by fucking noon, I was like, I'm in a bad mood again.
Yeah, me too. I feel crazy.
It lasted like 2 hours. And then I was like, actually, let's hate everyone we've ever met.
Yeah, buddy, let's go.
Yeah, man.
It's just like, there's no cure.
Well, also, my life is a mess all the time. They kind of cross over with the chronically ill person. And now
I'm so excited to dive into
this. There are people that are actually chronically ill.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, but you're one of these full of shit people, right?
You told me you're
kind of a hypochondriac, right?
Huge. So again, okay. This is self-hating. But I will say, no, there's the person. I have a person in my life who had started off a bunch of really bad shit happened to this person, real bad shit. And I was like helping out during it. And then she kind of came out the other side. And then all the like accidents and I have this resistant that, and I have like, you know, all these different diseases that can't be really be proved.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, I'm like, there's 15 autoimmune disorders.
Yeah.
Don't know, buddy.
Yeah.
I
see a lot of these people on social media who are not people I know. And it's like the people in the comments, sometimes the people in the comments are just hating and whatever.
Yeah.
But sometimes the people in the comments are like, hey, man, I think this is, maybe this isn't 15 autoimmune diseases. Maybe this is one mental illness.
Yes.
Yep. And it's like, maybe listen to those people once.
I mean, I am this person, but I've gotten good enough to not entertain the thoughts. And so I try to keep it inside and go, this is in your mind. And you don't need to write a poem about this and post it on Instagram. You need to take a deep breath.
Yeah. Well, I also think like there's a person on TikTok who I hate follow, who has diagnosed herself with a chronic illness that somebody very close to me has.
Yeah.
And there's a part of it where I feel like it's insulting to that person.
Sure.
Because this person on TikTok is acting like it's insurmountable.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but the person close to me has it diagnosed.
Yeah, yeah.
And goes to work every day and like gets shit done despite that. Mm. And in a way, you're implying that people who have this can't do that.
Yeah.
Right, do you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
That bothers
me. We're talking about long COVID, right?
Yeah. We're talking about cancer again.
Right. My message is this. It is fucking hard. Like I said already, it is hard to pull yourself out of a situation like this. I get it. But at some point, you got to stop whining and take a first step, dude. You got to have that hand out of the grave.
Because
you're exhausting everyone around you.
Yeah.
That's the perfect. The hand out of the grave is the perfect visual
you
for
also have
it.
To pay attention to the fact that, like, it's getting harder for your friends to be around you.
Yes.
Because your friends don't want that to be the case.
You're pushing us away. We love
you. Your friends want to be around you, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you make it this hard...
you
know?
Yeah.
It's like we're all like reaching off of a cliff trying to catch you, and you're like tying weights to your ankles, and we're like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Don't pull us over the cliff. We're doing our best.
And then eventually your friends do let go and then you get pulled into a deeper cycle. And it's fucking tragic.
Yeah.
It really is fucking tragic. And I do think a lot of people never have the hand out of the fucking ground. Yeah. And that stinks.
You don't need to hit rock bottom to improve your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah.
You just got to wake up at 5 a.m.
No.
Shut up, Tim.
Go to hell, Tim.
Go to hell, Tim.
Tim, last night I fell asleep at 5:30. How do you feel about that? Yeah.
Tim, I see the sunrise every morning, but it's not because I slept and woke up. It's because I've been sitting there vibrating like a little bipolar nightmare.
The thing about waking up at 5 a.m.
Okay, Mike, you can just check it later during business hours.
You can send it later. Tim, have you always been a morning person?
Yeah, I think so. But now it's like I have to. There's so many things. I have a dog now, so I have to take care of him. So I wake up early so that I have those few hours for myself.
We should get a dog.
Let's get a basset hound.
When do you go to bed?
I go to bed. I mean, lately it's been like 9:30, but usually I fall asleep at like... Usually I fall asleep at like 11.
Can you make an argument for one thing that we're missing in the morning? Because the nighttime fucking rips.
The nighttime is so fun.
The nighttime is fun.
Yeah. I love creeping around at night.
Oh my God.
Being a little goblin in the dark.
There's nothing I love more than being like, do you know that this place serves food until 2 a.m.? Yes. And we all go there.
And we
say swear words because it gets around.
Yeah, we're smoking.
My parents aren't here.
But we're like, we have like the energy of smoking.
Yeah.
We're hanging out with all the sinners and vampires and pirates and you know, the dirge of society. What are you doing in the morning that's so fucking great?
Who's around in the morning?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's
dorks.
Just me. I'm around in the morning. I think the pandemic turned me into an old man. Like, I rapidly aged. Yeah. Like,
you enjoy the solitude.
I enjoy the solitude, but here's the thing.
Because you're married.
Wait, let him finish.
am I right? You're married. And all that. Essentially what he's saying is Tim hates his wife.
His bitch wife.
I don't say wife. I say woman king.
I don't say wife. I do say bitch.
Woman
but
king
I don't say,
is yeah. incredible.
Woman king rules.
I'm going to make my boyfriend say that. Oh, go ahead.
Go on.
You wake up so early that you chose to do everything during the day. So it's like, do I have to go to work? Have I been up long enough where I chose to go to work today?
That sounds like capitalist propaganda.
Yeah, that sounds like...
I don't know about that, buddy.
Yeah. I have some pamphlets for you.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you do gratitudes, Tim? Is this what you're fucking up
to? No, I don't do gratitudes.
Yeah.
No,
but, I work but to live. I don't live to work. Yeah.
I've done gratitudes. They do work.
In the trying to pull the hand out of the grave.
Yeah. It's a part of that process.
It is.
Yeah.
You got to do the gratitudes. Yeah. You got to do the little affirmations. Mm-hmm. You have to look into a mirror and cry about how your body's always been there for you.
Yeah.
Your body's always been there for you.
Yeah. No matter how much you hate your body. It's always been there for you.
Your immune system is actually very strong.
Okay.
Your body's a survivor and you shouldn't be so mean to it.
Yeah. Bald is beautiful. Yeah. Of course.
Let's not be fucking crazy.
What the hell?
It's gorgeous.
Keep that hat on.
Well, this kind of dovetails with my silver tongue and my sharp wit into our next.
Dude, by the way, silver tongue is so like a comedian writing their own bio.
100%.
Like every time you have to write your own bio, you have to like try not to gag and be like witty and
featured in New York Comedy Festival.
Can we read the first line of each other's bios to each other?
Oh,
I don't have it. I don't have a website.
Do you have a website?
I have a bio.
I don't know if I want to do this.
Somebody posted
mine recently, so I'll be able to find it.
I'm excited to hear what your silver tongued
what my silver tongue ass has to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably a
oh god, oh god, oh god, oh god, oh god. Just the first sentence.
I mean, I imagine that's the part where you say the silver tongue kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Unless you... There's people who do like a goofy thing like...
Oh my God, they changed it.
Here, I'll tell you mine.
Yeah, yours.
Wait, I'm going to tell you what I wrote and then read you what they wrote.
Okay,
I wrote... Lizzie Cassidy is a New York City-based stand-up comedian Lizzie Cassidy is a New York City-based comedian whose stand-up is dark, dirty, and sometimes smart. They wrote... This website that I'm reading it from wrote, Lizzie Cassidy is a New York City-based comedian whose stand-up is dark, dirty, and frequently very smart.
Oh, funny. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
No, that's not bad.
Kevin, what do you got?
Oh, boy. It's kind of a run-on sentence, but described by the Chicago Tribune. That's how long as it's been, Tim, since I've had a credit?
Yeah. I think we have the credit from the same guy.
Yeah, we used to live in Chicago. Yeah. Described by the Chicago Tribune as, quote, the physical expression of an exclamation point, Kevin Casey White's uniquely conversational brand of devil may care comedy.
Silver tongue.
Yeah, dude.
Wit.
Devil may care.
That is wit coded.
I stand by it, okay?
Somebody likes punk rock.
Is on full display in his new special harangue. Watch it.
Yeah.
Go on.
We'll do formal plugs later, but watch it.
Mine is very bare bones. Andrea Allen is a stand-up comedian and podcaster based in New York. Andrea has performed at New York Comedy Festival. That's an old credit. The Cinderblock Comedy Festival. The All Girls Festival that pissed everyone off. And was a semi-finalist in the Caroline's Comedy Competition, which...
You don't have any silver tongue stuff in there.
Yeah.
You got to put some silver tongue in there.
Yeah, you got to. People want it.
Do they?
People love it.
Yeah, the first sentence has to be silver tongue. And then the second sentence is like...
Credit.
Yeah, Comedy Festival. But you got to put... You got to give them... Give him a little.
I've got devil may care and physical expression of an exclamation.
I know, that makes me want to kill myself.
Yours is tough.
Yeah.
My last sentence is like...
Yours is tough and bald.
It's great, actually.
My last sentence is like about how writing a bio makes me want to kill myself.
I think a lot of people do that.
I did the corny like break the fourth wall because I can't handle this.
And the last line of mine is Kevin lives in New York where... What is it? Kevin lives in New York City where he needs help paying the rent.
Yeah.
Mine is she hates long walks on the beach and talking about herself in the third person.
Right, right.
What would you guys do? What silver tongue line would you use?
Andrea has big fake cans.
Yeah.
Andrea's big.
Hurtful.
Andrea's bold on tits. Performs all over.
I would say
bar shows in Brooklyn.
The only thing bigger than her fake cans is her act.
Hey, there you
That's
go.
That's great.
That's good,
buddy.
That's good.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay, fuck, I lost the
sorry.
No, that's okay. Our next topic.
God, that was so scary. I did not know what the first sentence of my bio was.
Fuck, okay, what was it? God damn it, I'm checking the notes. We'll cut this out.
So do you think people go to your shows waiting for something in your bio to pop out to them?
No. They mustn't.
They're
right?
waiting for my tits
Nobody
to pop
reads
out.
It,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, some podcast fans come to our stand-up shows.
Yeah, I think people who don't know who you are, when they look at a website like that has your bio, I think more than anything, they look at the picture of you.
Yeah.
They go, does this look like someone I'd relate to?
Yes.
For me, I get distracted and go off script a lot, and I think I sum that up. But also, there's no way to be like, you don't want to be like, I'm a loose cannon. There's no cool way to do that.
Yeah.
Ironically,
I am a loose cannon.
But like, at least I have a quote from a publication to do a lot of that heavy lifting, which is like before that I got that quote.
Yeah, that helps.
Oh, my bio is brutal.
There's also like, my bio is basically me trying to be like, she's going to talk about cum.
Yes.
That should be the first line. She's going to talk about cum.
She's going to talk about cum.
Yeah. I mean,
don't bring your kids.
I had an album cover that was.
You can't handle me, caution tape.
I mean, I had an album cover that was me getting fucking
your
cum
face
done.
So
you give me a quick googs. You know what you're up to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm up to. All right.
And yet so many people show up to the shows and are like, why would you say that? Anyway.
All right. So I'm going to bring up the next respectfully topic. Respectfully, if you're going to go around fucking lying to my face and telling me that money doesn't make you happy, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Who are you talking? This sounds very pointed. Who did you have an interaction with recently?
No one really. I guess maybe there was like a hippy dippy guy that I ran into on the street that was going all Burning Man on me.
There's also like a lot of people we know that are like
these rich hippies. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah. No, I know.
It's a completely counterintuitive.
Yeah.
To
it's a paradox. Just be rich and have a great time.
Just say you're fucking rich.
Thank you.
I know.
I am fucking rich.
That's so annoying. You are fucking
yeah.
Money, if I can quote the great Weird Al.
Yes, please. God love.
He had a song where he said, and I think it sums it up perfectly, money can't buy happiness, but it can rent it. And
yes.
It's like the idea that people are like, it actually doesn't make you happy. I'm like, yeah, but you can ride on a fucking jet ski, so shut up.
Yeah,
and
you
that
can
would
do
make
whatever
me
you
so
want.
Happy.
Yeah,
have you ever
you know
bought
I mean?
A also, cool jacket?
You're not hungry. Right. Ever. You're yeah, never yeah. hungry.
I'm so cranky when I'm hungry.
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys have seen me when I'm hungry. Yes.
Dude,
it's like
so
a
funny nightmare.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, do you want a Cliff Bar or I'll shoot you in the back? Whatever, whichever one comes first.
The hangry thing is so real. I meant like, I was thinking back to times in my life when I'm like, okay, I need this paycheck to last me for a while.
I know.
Yeah. I'm stocking up on ramen and tuna.
Beans.
And I can't do anything. But you're right. Just living hangry.
It's crazy.
Tough.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
That's
tough.
Literally why I stopped having an eating disorder. I was such a bitch. Yeah. I like didn't have any friends because I was such a bitch all the time because I'm not fun to be around when I'm hungry. This podcast is sponsored by Snickers. Yes. You're not you when you're hungry.
Snickers is the word for laugh and it's joy. I love it.
Also, I'll say this. It's really hard to be happy when you have three jobs.
Yeah.
Totally,
when you
dude.
Have to have three jobs, it's really fucking hard to be happy. It's
totally.
Really easy to be happy when you can like... be like I said earlier, you can be like, I'm gonna have a little yogurt and do Pilates and read my book, and I'm still unhappy.
Yes.
So imagine if I had three jobs.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing where I say, and your Weird Al point is exactly it. I know rich people. I was raised by one of the most insane rich people ever. Miserable.
Howard Hughes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pissing in jars, growing the nails out. It doesn't make you self-actualized. I'll tell you this. It doesn't make you like have a warm life filled with love. But do you have a great fucking time?
Yes.
And you might not even want these things. Like there's some sociopaths who really like are not like, I'm so lucky to have, I don't think they want friends.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But also if you're not a sociopath and you have money, people will be drawn to you because you have money and you can make friends.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You don't need a personality.
You can buy a wife.
You can buy a wife.
Yeah.
Buy a wife. Yeah.
You can buy a wife.
Andrew, where did you vacation?
When I was a child,
mm-hmm.
Where didn't I vacation?
Anywhere tropical?
Oh Costa Rica.
Yeah, okay.
I don't like tropical places though because I'm hot all the time.
Sure.
Dude, one of the most rich people things you ever said to me. I was talking to you about how like I really wanted to go to Europe because I've been once, but I'm not well traveled. And you went, oh, I hate Europe.
Yeah, dude.
Okay.
And honestly, that's what I expected from Andrea.
Yeah.
No offense.
No,
it was so funny.
There's a detachment there when you say that. You know where I fucking vacation growing up? We would go to Branson every year.
Right.
In the Ozarks of
Missouri.
And I'm
right in the middle. We would go to Florida.
Yeah. I went to Florida a couple times.
Yeah.
Road trip full of fights.
We were like,
no planes.
We were like the family, we had a week long vacation, so we would do 3 days at Disney.
Yep.
And then 4 days at a hotel with a pool.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I went to Florida twice, I think, when I was a little kid. And that's like.
And then like other kids in my class were like, why don't you just go to Disney the whole time? And you didn't know that you're like, I guess my parents are mean.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hundreds of dollars a day. Impossible.
So crazy expensive.
Yeah,
you get to go one day and you have to cram it all in.
Yeah.
And dad's stressed out because he's
upset at Disney.
Mom's
running around
trying to get the fast pass.
Yes. trying to get the pictures. And dad's
you're
like, come on.
Yeah. You're like eating buttered noodles with one of the chipmunks from Chip and Dale.
Yeah.
And
dude.
That's just a person who has the worst job alive and like lives in a motel near Disney.
And your parents spent so much money for you to have that experience.
And
it's like fine.
Yeah.
Now,
no offense, Mike. Mike worked at Disney.
Yeah.
This is something I'm curious about.
Mike has Disney trauma. Yeah.
What did you do at Disney?
Oh, yeah. And it's crazy. My dad works at Disney.
But
your dad works at Disney?
What?
Tim is full of lore.
Yeah.
Tim's dad is Frozen.
Yeah.
It's Walt.
I worked
Tim's dad's on stilts.
I worked at the Rock and Roller Coaster in Disney World.
No way.
Yeah, for 6 months.
Like you were operating the ride?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa. Is that complicated? I always wonder, like, they have teenagers doing this
job.
Yeah,
he went to engineering school for it.
No, I mean, I didn't think it would be that level. Yeah. But, I mean, can any, like, monkey with half a brain just hit a button?
Oh, Kevin, if you saw the people that I worked with.
that scares me.
That's so terrifying.
Disney World is in Florida, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, think about, it's like, I'd say 70% of the workforce is, like, from Orlando. And, I mean, it's not exactly,
the top
Harvard Square.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, it was, It was a wild 6 months, dude. It sucks living down there.
Yeah, Mike lost his marbles down there.
Yeah, I did. I almost killed myself when I was down there.
Oh my god!
Whoa!
Yeah, unironically.
But he fixed the situation.
Yes, he did.
Yes. Bring it full circle. That's right.
Now you're the podcast king of Brooklyn.
Yeah,
that's what they say.
And isn't that a happy thing to be?
And he only ironically wants to kill himself.
Yeah. In like a cute way.
Yeah.
And your dad works.
Yeah. What does your dad do?
He's a plasterer, so rock work and stuff. And he's since I was a kid,
rock
he's like,
work.
Yeah, like
sheetrock.
All the rocks.
Right. No, I know.
Walking
but
into
that's no, I know what you mean. It's just one of those things where like you don't realize, like you
people
see all those things,
that,
and you're
yeah.
like, you don't realize that that's someone's job, but of
right,
course it is.
Right, right.
Like an artisan's job for yeah. sure. You're like, don't they just ship that in from somewhere?
Wow, that's yeah. fun. Was that his job when you were a kid?
What was that? Yeah, he had that since I was a kid. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And he still does it.
He still does it, yeah.
That's wow.
So I heard a lot of like the behind the scenes, like it was his job, so there wasn't, you know.
Do you
so
know,
I had that behind the scenes sense of like, oh, the happiest place on earth might not.
Do you know anything about how like there's some of the rides have like still water,
with
and if
the,
you jump in
the,
it, you get a brain,
yes, with
you
the
get a brain
fucking,
eating amoeba.
Yeah, the amoeba in there.
Do you know anything about that?
The amoeba? No, I've never heard
oh.
anything
oh,
about
Oh, I know
that.
All about
I'm
it.
Not
maybe
legally
amoeba,
allowed to
yeah.
talk about the amoeba.
Ask your dad about the amoeba if you
maybe
could.
Maybe the amoeba's
yeah.
in
Yeah, if you could is do this, a quick amoeba check on that.
Is this what this episode is becoming? Because I do have Disney, like, tape.
We'll do a Disney. We'll do a Disney deep dive.
We can do a Disney. We'll
dive so deep we get the brain eating amoeba.
We'll do a Disney expose.
Do you want to hear one, like, wild, quick one?
Sure, yeah.
I want to hear, yeah, I definitely want to hear about, I have so many questions, honestly, because respectfully, I think we can all hate on Disney adults.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Except Mike.
Yes. And my Mike's different. And his parents.
And his parents.
Yes.
And the people he
wait,
loves.
You mean, yeah. You're not a Disney. Are you a Disney adult?
My parents are. I'm like a Disney
dude,
adult by blood, basically. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, he worked at Disney, dude.
That
yeah.
doesn't mean that.
He
what?
Like he like went down there to work at Disney. You
yeah,
don't
he's
know.
Not from
you
Orlando.
Don't know Mike as well as I do. So
oh,
this
you,
is all
you
new
took
to you.
A pilgrim. Oh, this
yeah,
was
I'm
by
from
circumstance.
Here.
This
yeah.
was on purpose.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah.
I did this. I did it in college.
Mike did a pilgrimage to be at Disney. Yeah.
So essentially, am I in the shot here at all?
No, you're not.
Okay. Here we go. Yeah. A little bit better.
Nice
all right.
Frank's,
so, but I will say, nice. I mean, we can do the whole story a different time, but they do this thing. Nobody is legally allowed to, well, not allowed, but like nobody dies in Disney World.
Okay, stop.
So,
I'm serious.
It's the happiest place on earth.
So like there's, they
I've
have
heard this though.
They have so much political pull in that part of Florida, or I don't know about now with DeSantis, but like up to that point, they had so much pull in like these three towns, Orlando, Lake Buena Vista, and then Celebration, which is a town. And
it's a
that
town
they own.
Called Celebration?
Yeah.
That's where I'm getting
Disney's
my lobotomy,
town.
Baby.
No, I've heard of this, yeah.
So what happens is if there's like a tragedy on the Disney grounds, they don't declare anybody dead until
right.
they're
I've heard
outside
this.
Of Disney
yeah.
World. So there was this, one of my roommates, he worked in if you've been the ferry boats
that
will take you from like the park to the hotels and stuff. Mm. So he was on one of the ferry boats working with these older guys. And on his first day, he was saying that these guys told him this story about this woman that was on like a wave runner in this lagoon that they built.
And she got
crossed up with some like buoy wires or whatever and got cut in half.
Bullshit,
oh my god.
Dude. No way.
Oh my god.
So wait, listen. So they didn't want it to be like a mess for the guests. So they had weights and they weighed down the
bottom
remains.
Half.
Yeah. Until like they could clear the guests.
Oh my
so they had this woman just like was cut in half.
Oh my god.
And this is alleged. I mean, I'm hearing this like third hand.
They should have just thrown Jaws in there.
Right.
But, like, she's pretend.
Yeah.
It's all pretend.
Yeah,
so,
dude.
Wait. So I'm a little good. So Tim, this is what your dad does?
So it just it's nice. The story of like they like so this woman was in two parts and they weighed the body down and then they didn't declare her dead until they took her wherever they took her to Celebration or Lake Buena Vista. it's nuts.
Severed body going to Celebration is the darkest form of capitalism I've ever heard in my life.
In Disney, nobody dies, nobody's trans.
it's wild.
It's a political, it's a political minefield.
And no one's Jewish. Dude,
there were all sorts of, there's all sorts of stories, like really like dark stuff.
Yeah.
They like, so I was dating a girl that worked on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Hot.
And
cool.
Sick.
She,
What was her role?
Same thing that I did.
Oh, okay. Was she dressed like a pirate?
Yeah, she a wench.
You dress like a pirate. And you like, have to like you
titties
just, like,
out.
So you're dating this wench. Go on.
So they have this. Every ride has a checklist, and in the morning you're supposed to like basically it's like a safety guideline that you have to literally go through and check off, and then sign it to make sure that like everything checks out essentially. And there's a few things on everybody's morning checklists that are like. You know, they're not necessarily safety related, but it varies per ride. So pirates, apparently somebody, I guess in like the 70s, died on the pirates ride. And the rumor is that there's like a ghost.
The ghost of the pirates of the Caribbean ride.
And like it's on the checklist.
It's just some guy from, it's some guy from Virginia.
An accountant.
It's on the checklist in the morning that you have to say hello to the ghost.
No.
God. Well, it's a wild, magical place.
Yeah. It is a wild place. It is like it really is because there's so much dark shit.
This is what happens when people who believe in magic make rules.
Yeah. It's nuts.
Imagine a schizophrenic in Disney.
That's fun.
Yeah, that's actually kind of
of a good time.
Yeah.
Wait, so I think our conclusion here is money can buy you happiness. Yes.
Well,
because you don't have to work at a place where people get severed into
you. You can just go allegedly.
You can just go and ignore the dead body.
Piss your pants in the Tower of Terror and have a panic attack.
Yeah, that's fun. That's good, clean family fun.
I'll say this. Money gets you a little escapism for a moment. Like
a lot, I guess.
Yeah. You get to go and be like, oh, I'm going to buy this little trinket and I'm going to be a totally different guy.
That's like
moving
the point
forward.
Of money.
You know what
it
does? Like, it gives you options.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't have options if you're broke.
Yeah. No.
And when you have fuck you money, as my soulless father used to call it, where it's like, I can ruin anyone who stands in my way.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
cool.
I'll tell you this.
When
I first moved to New York and I shared a bedroom with two people I didn't know, I was happy, but I'm a lot happier now.
Of course. Yeah.
I'm a lot happier now that I have my own apartment. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, of course. And if you can't express affection easily, throw a little money at it.
Throw a little money
at
it.
You gotta throw a little money at
it. Also, if you do become self-aware enough and you're rich and you do want to, you know, you decide like, oh, I'm not happy even though I have money. What do I do? Good therapy is expensive.
Right.
Yeah.
Which does tie into my first point.
Sing
also
it.
About fixing. You can't, you have more, it's easier to fix your problems even.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the worst is when one of those people won't fix their problems is someone who has more money than you and you're like, what are you even fucking talking
about? What are you
doing?
Yeah. Also, 12 step is free to those people. And I know everyone's not like, people have their feelings about 12 step, but they'll be like, the God stuff. And I'll be like, we're in New York.
Shut up.
And then I'll be like, there's an atheist one. And they'll be like, I can't be confirmed. And I'm like, shut the fuck.
It's also like,
go to Greenpoint, have a coffee.
We've all been to a meeting at some point, one. Yeah. Okay. I've been to a handful and it's,
I've gone.
Yeah.
Right. Like, we've all done it. Right. And the first time I
was. Although you're not supposed to say that you go on podcasts.
I don't give a
who cares?
Fuck. Listen.
There's TV shows about it now. Yeah, it's
I don't understand this whole AA thing where we have to act like we're magicians that don't divulge secrets or whatever.
Well the point
also,
of,
I'm not in the program, but I have gone.
I don't know if I agree with it, but I can tell you that the reason why they don't want you to say publicly that you go is because if you say that and then you relapse, people are like, see, it doesn't work.
Oh, that's it? It's all PR?
Yeah. Well, it also
grow up.
It also used to be that.
Have some confidence, AA.
being sober and like not, it used to be like you could lose your job if you admitted that you had a problem and you were dealing with it.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that's where it came from.
Well, that's why
originally.
You don't like tell on other people.
That definitely makes sense.
But that's not, now I don't
no,
think.
No,
but now it's like
the 50s.
They just don't want you to be like, AA saved my life. And then you like get photo, like if you're like a famous person.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then you're like publicly on a bender, people. Because so many people already think it doesn't work, then they get to point to you and be like, see, it doesn't work.
Look at this idiot.
Sure. AA didn't save my life or anything. I went a few times. I was sober for 6 months. It didn't stick. something else worked for me. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
I went to one meeting and I was like, oh, there's like a, you know, like they always can tell, oh, there's a new guy, right?
Sure. So
some guy came up to me, he talked to me. Cool guy.
There's always a cool guy.
Long hair, beard,
and then he
tall,
tries to fuck you.
I was going
to
say, he always has long hair.
Denim shirt, denim you know? Yeah. Like,
no, the actual cool guy rings. Doesn't try to fuck you. The guy who's pretending to be the cool guy tries
yeah,
to fuck
yeah.
you.
And I immediately hit him with the, I don't know if this is for me, man, all the God stuff. And he was like, oh, yeah, God can be whatever you want, though.
Yeah.
God could be a cheeseburger. Whatever you want to just get yourself out of bed. Yeah. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
So, like, the argument of, like, oh, it's all gone stuff is, like, nobody, they don't ever expressly say what that means.
Yeah. Also, I'll say this. You know? If you're in the hole that we were talking about earlier and you can't get out, and I tell you that you should try therapy and you tell me you can't afford it, and then I tell you you should try a 12-step meeting and you say, I don't like the God stuff, you're being a little picky.
Yeah.
You're being a little picky with your free therapy and maybe just listen to the God stuff and participate in the rest.
Pretend you care about the God
stuff. Or just fucking leave it.
Yeah, you're
just listen to the other stuff.
Yeah. Are you not an autonomous person? You can pick and choose what you take from this.
The one thing that AA
it's
has.
It's hilarious to be like, I'm not going to go to this free therapy because there's one part I don't like.
Totally.
Just go.
The one thing that AA says that I like is like, where am I in this? Like in a situation, like what part of it am I contributing to? Mm-hmm. And the not dealing with your problems person refuses to acknowledge their part in the issues.
Yeah.
And like there's a single catchphrase that would change your whole fucking life if you would use shut up.
You're so right. We're essentially we're talking about accountability.
We're talking about accountability.
Damn, and it's the hardest thing. It's the hardest thing to be like, oh, I'm the problem.
Yeah, I'm a little bitch.
It's hard.
I'm an entitled bitch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about myself.
But then once you like start letting yourself do that, it's like, it's crazy how much easier your life gets. Like every conflict that you get into, if you have the ability to go, oh, you know what? You might be right about that and I might be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how much easier that is.
Yeah.
Than constantly being like, no, but I think that it's like, oh yeah. I could be wrong about that, I guess.
Yeah.
It is crazy how much less energy that takes.
Yeah.
It is wild how much I'll use this as a blanket term for lack of a better word. We're talking about like enlightenment in a sense, right? About I know a thing that I didn't know when I was 24.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know?
Which is a crazy thing to happen, by the way.
Yeah. And some people just never get that.
When you're at a bar
or something and somebody's there and they're like 45 trying to rip shots and trying to keep the party going, and it's like
tough.
I get that, like in the 80s this was your idea of a comic.
Yeah,
this you're embarrassing yourself.
Yeah.
this is sucks. So sad and scary.
This sucks.
Yeah, right? It's a nightmare. And then you're like,
and that's
also
just one example of
you're
that.
Also wondering why, and this could be any career, but like you're doing that and wondering why your career isn't where you want it to be, and it's like, brother.
Yeah.
Well, I saw this.
I mean, you're running face first into the point and missing it completely. It's crazy.
The call's coming from inside the house.
Yeah.
I see this fork in the road because I got sober when I was 25, and a lot of it was because of comedy, because I saw people who got sober who were like flourishing and they were glowing and like had the respect of their peers. And then I saw people who didn't, and it was just exactly this.
Mm-hmm.
And the two roads that I think about, the comic who got sober, Dan Soder. Like, that guy was publicly sober, a resource to everyone, super cool, not cringe. And I was like, this guy fucking
and so good at stand-up.
Rips, yes. Yeah. And the one that breaks my goddamn heart now is fucking Doug Stanhope.
I know. I knew you were
going to
say that.
Oh, interesting.
It is. I'm such a Stanhope head that, like, I listen to a lot of stuff that he's on. I'm, like, still in the trenches trying to consume Stanhope material.
Yeah.
He's got full wet brain. It's tragic.
Yeah.
And like people will interview him and he'll be like, fucking the God stuff. And I'll be like, dude, you can't form a sentence.
Yeah.
But when you were like
21. And you were the best.
You were the best.
When you were 21, you really romanticized this contrarian.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you get older and you're like, that's actually kind of lame. It's like when I doesn't matter where or when, but I remember I was somewhere and I saw like a bartender who was like pushing 50 and he still had like a mohawk.
Oh man.
And the sleeveless t-shirt and the plaid pants with the zippers, and it's like that's how
brother.
I dressed when I was in high school, but like dude, at some point you gotta be like, what are you fucking doing, dude?
I know.
And he had like the puffy skin of a drunk.
Oh,
and it's like,
the moon face. Oh,
you never realize that this shit is for children.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know? Also, rebellion's inside, baby.
Yeah. Also, ooh, I love that.
Also, you can't rebel against the man if you're dead.
Yeah. Oh,
you
no.
just can't.
Sure, dude.
So sometimes you got to get sober to do that. Like, like drinking yourself to death is not a true act of rebellion.
It's not noble. It's not
if
cool.
you're mad about you're not the Hemingway. System. Yeah. If you're mad about the system, you want to like
Hemingway probably wasn't Hemingway. You know what I mean?
Sure,
yeah.
Sure,
but
sure,
anyways.
Sure.
But like, if you want to fucking rage against the machine or whatever, you can't do it all fucked up. You got to get your shit a little bit together for your argument to hold any water at all.
Yeah.
Because fucking dead dudes can't argue.
Yeah.
It's also like you got to play ball a little bit.
Unless they're in your head.
You know?
Yeah. They can argue all day.
Then they're going to argue.
I also see this in chronically single player person, whether it be male or female, but it is just statistically usually more of a male. And I see it in New York because it's like they don't, a lot of guys don't settle down in New York till maybe their late 30s, 40s because they're like, can do that and still like fuck young hot hoes.
Mm-hmm. And also like women in New York are tend to be more career oriented.
For sure.
So they're like, they're not even trying to get married until they're in their 30s and 40s. So you can get away with murder.
Yeah, the Venn diagram, it crosses
get away
there.
With murder. We agree both parties are
murder.
Doing what they want.
Yeah, but
it's not murder.
When men do it, it's murder.
And it's disgusting, even though I'm with someone 10 years older than me.
Yeah, what are we doing? Get out of here. You're both with older people.
Yeah, whatever.
Mine's barely.
Mine's older and a dad. I know what I'm up to, okay?
Andrea, for the first time in your life, you're making a lot of sense. Where were you? Yeah. Don't let Lizzie distract you.
Sorry, who am I? No, but I was sitting at a bar with my boyfriend and there was an older dude there wearing like a crusty leather jacket.
Mm. Yeah.
And he was balding and he was doing the swish over the top to try to cover it. And he was just on dating apps, just fucking swipe.
Was there.
Get him.
You might need to cut that.
You gotta bleep it.
But thank you for having the bravery to do that.
By the way, I have to show you something after this.
But Dan looked at that guy and was like, fuck, thank God I'm not that guy.
A lot of what we're talking about with this like enlightenment stuff is like simply your frontal lobe developing.
Yeah.
And like you wake up one day and you're 26 and you realize that like you've been wrong about everything.
I know.
And one of those things this reminded me, and I'm just going to say this for the sake of saying this. If you are in your early 20s and your boyfriend is over 10 years older than you, he is not different than other guys like that.
I know.
And I'm so sorry to break this to you, and I know you're listening to this right now, and you're going, but my boyfriend is different. No, he isn't.
Yeah.
I promise he isn't. There's a reason women his age don't date him, and he is manipulating you. No matter how smart you think you are, no matter how right you think you are, he's lived longer than you, so you think he's right about everything, and he's not. And you're going to turn 26 and realize you've made a grave mistake. And I'm just telling you right now, he's not different. He's a pervert and you're a child.
Yeah. I back
that
up 100%.
That's really interesting, dude.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of, like, is there a – for anybody out there who's like, no, but mine's different, what's the test?
I dated this guy,
so
and I thought
I.
he was different.
Oh, I just meant like, what?
How do you know?
But the thing that I thought made him different was that he didn't have a pattern of doing this. Like, he wasn't always dating younger women. So I was like, well, he's not dating me because I'm younger than him.
No,
he was dating me despite the fact that I'm younger than him.
Interesting.
But then I was like,
I got misdirected. I got misdirected by that too. I was like, he's nice to her. And I was.
Yeah, but then I grew up and I was like, it doesn't really matter if he's done it before, he's doing it now.
That guy was having the last push.
Yeah.
Before somebody came along and was like, all right, but it's time to grow up.
It's time to retire.
There is a crossroads that you hit.
Right. Yeah.
I'm trying to think how we could convince these young hoes that that's what's happening to them.
But you know what, though?
Because I don't think I could have been convinced.
Do you think there's an argument that you kind of got to go through that, too?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you have to go through it, but I do think there's an argument that, like, they're not going to listen.
That's what I mean. Like, you need to.
And I'm not trying to say it's the woman in the situation's fault. I do think, like, the older person should be the person who's like, I shouldn't do this.
Sure.
But what am I going to – everyone said all this shit to me, and I was like, you don't know him. You know, like,
that's what I mean. But not like everybody needs to go through it, but if you are in that situation –
You have to figure it out for yourself.
You need to see that relationship through to its logical conclusion,
yeah,
which is – gonna be real fun. You're gonna love it.
Just do me just do me a quick little favor. Do me a quick little favor and think about your boyfriend who's 10, 15, 16, 17 years older than you. Think about him in your mind's eye. Picture 40, him.
35.
Think about all the things you know about him and ask yourself, if I was 37, would I date him? Just ask yourself that.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Just ask yourself, if I was 37 and all the things that are true about him were still true, would I be with him?
You could all
think the answer is going to be no.
You could also, I think if you often feel confused and not in a like your stupid way.
Yeah, totally.
But a, like, I guess that's a thing.
I guess that's how relationships work.
But I don't know.
I guess, well, this is my first adult relationship. So I guess maybe we do fight all the time. That kind of thing.
He's yelling at me, but I can be like a little.
I can be a bitch.
Yeah.
There's a good chance the guy that you're dating needs to take a little accountability.
Hey. That's what it is.
Look at this silver tongue over there.
And then women his age are onto that.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. They smell it.
They can smell it, and they want nothing to do with him.
Somebody younger will be, you know what? You're 22. You think I'm always right.
Yeah.
It really serves him in a great way.
Also, if a guy in his 40s tells you he's not ready for a relationship, babe, he's never going to be.
Yeah. Well, let's
can you imagine being in a situationship and you're like, 49 years old.
I've dated that guy.
I mean, it's like crazy.
And he's already, but also at the same time, he's engaged to someone else and not telling you about it.
Didn't the Golden Bachelor guy get in trouble for that? Because it turns out that he was trying to like be that.
I think that did happen.
Be that dude. Yeah. Again.
I'm just so complex. I couldn't connect to another person. No,
especially an idiot. A woman.
Yeah.
She's not going to get this.
Yeah. Like avoidant attachments are like, I just can't handle people loving me. It's like, what? I want everyone to love me. Bitch.
Shut up. Get over it.
Yeah. And I get it. I have walls. But take him down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Take him
accountability.
Down. Take him down, baby. Mm-hmm.
See a therapist. Go on that website.
Go get rent a
go
bath.
On that website.
They don't sponsor us. Yeah. They don't say the name, but you guys know the website. Go on the website.
Rent a pool and have your friend dip you in it.
Go on Swimply.
I'll give a plug. I'll give everybody the same one. NIP. National Institute MIP. For Psychotherapies. They do sliding scale all across the country.
Oh, yeah?
That's who you hit up.
Yeah. Go on NIP.
Yeah.
Go on NIP.
Get your nips out.
Get your nips out. Get a big fake boobs and get your nips out.
Yeah.
Let's do hair plugs. You going to get those?
Fuck. Do you know how many men have hair plugs, like famous men?
Yeah, I know.
My favorite thing in the world, Google Machine Gun Kelly hair plugs.
Oh, I've done this.
It's so funny. Now he's got Megan Fox. So
Elon Musk hair plugs.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah. Machine Gun Kelly's like, I'm like a cool guy. See him with, dude, he had a hairline that was like one of these like vampire.
Yeah. The widow's peak. Yeah.
I have a widow's peak. That's why I bent.
Yeah. Ooh, got us.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, also like Mark Zuckerberg's too. Like his glow up, like that bitch went to Turkey.
That's so weird. Have you seen that?
Also, a lot of comics that we'll talk about off mic. A lot of comedians.
Yeah.
Who has hair plugs?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, dude.
They're
yeah.
so expensive. Who can afford
they go to
not as much Turkey? Yeah. It's getting.
And they take months and months to heal.
Yeah.
They like hide. They hide in their apartments.
Yeah.
I'll tell you after.
Mm. Say it on the pod.
No, they're like nice.
Yeah.
I just want to know. I want to know.
Oh, Mateo Lane talks about it. Yeah.
And Dan Soder has a joke about it, so we can say him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mateo Lane named a special something like that hair plugs and something.
I
would, dude.
Yeah.
If I could afford it, I would.
Dan Soder has a joke where he calls it his hair tits. Like, you got
fake tits. I have fake tits. I have veneers. I have hair extensions. I'm a plastic. I'm a coddled together nightmare mirage.
I had to take a week off of my hair extensions, and I keep hearing that TikTok sound in my head that's like, she's bald and she's torturing people who have hair.
All right, let's do the plugs,
baby. Let's do the hair plugs.
Let's do the hair plugs, baby.
Which means only people with hair get to plug.
All right.
show yourself
just
out.
Just kidding, Kevin. You plug away.
Plug away.
Oh, boy. Well, if you like podcasts, which I'm sure you do, check out Close Calls.
I've heard it's good.
Glizzy's there.
I love it.
You'll see more of Glizzy on it.
Yeah. It's a comedy podcast about near-death experiences.
Yep. And watch my special, Harangue. It's on YouTube.
It's very good.
It's great.
Socials, Kevin Casey White on all socials.
Kev's the man. Lizzie, where can they find you, follow you?
Follow me on Instagram at Lizzie Cassidy. Watch my Don't Tell taping. And I also have a taping I did with Cracked. Those are both in my Instagram bio. You can find the link there. And on August 30th, I'll be at Union Craft Brewing in Baltimore.
Road dog.
Yeah.
Go see her. Say hello. Last time we were on the road, some Respectfully fans came out, yeah, and I felt cooler than I ever have in my whole fucking
life. You can also get tickets to that
life
in my Instagram bio.
Yes.
The one that we all did?
Yes. Yeah.
That was fun.
When we all went to Pittsburgh together? Yes.
That warmed my heart to see that, yeah, by the way.
When we went to Cranberry Township together.
Cranberry, yes, Township.
And then we got snacks after.
Yeah.
That was fun. We made an Uber driver wait in the parking lot while we got snacks.
Oh, yes. Bold move.
Shout out to that guy.
Yeah. Anyway, come to Union Craft Brewing in Baltimore. Links in my Instagram bio.
Yeah. But go see Lizzie. She's fantastic. And Andrea Comedy 69 across all platforms. And follow us on YouTube, Respectfully Podcast. And yeah, comment, review, rate, subscribe, all the things. By the way, we have stickers, and I'll talk about it next time, but it's coming.
Yeah, if you're one of the people messaging us about merch, we're fucking working on
it. We're working 9 to 5. Yeah. And then Tim's waking up at 5 like a freak. Tim, where can they find you and your freaky bullshit?
You can find anything at timbarnescomedy.com. That's good.
Yeah.
Know, message whatever. Him at 6:15 in the morning. He'll,
yeah,
respond.
Yeah. And Mike Coscarelli, where can they find you, follow you? I can.
He doesn't have a microphone. Oh, well,
Mike Coscarelli.
At Mike Coscarelli. Mike has a podcast, Mike Coscarelli Rules, co-hosted by Tim and our beloved Ronnie virtually from Amsterdam.
That's right. And follow Slickback,
yeah,
Studios.
And I was Slickback Studios.
Follow Slickback Studios on Instagram and YouTube and all that good stuff.
Slickback underscore studios. We love it. We love to hear it. And we'll see you next week, folks. Whoa! Silver.